Welcome to episode 1350 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Jesus' disciples ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Sounds simple, almost ordinary, but it is anything but. That question marks the moment when men who had grown up praying, who knew the words, rhythms, and rituals of Israel's faith, recognized something essential was missing. They sensed the inadequacy of their prayer life, not because they were prayerless, but because they had encountered a way of praying that went deeper than anything they had known. In first century Jewish life, prayer was integrated into daily existence. Children learned to pray at home. Adults prayed at fixed hours. Psalms shaped the people's imagination. Prayer was communal, habitual, assumed. Rabbis taught Torah, not prayer technique. You learn to pray by imitation, not instruction. Note the disciples do not ask Jesus to teach them what to pray, but how. That signals they have reached a moment of spiritual dissatisfaction. The prayers they know are no longer enough. Jesus had been praying, and when he finished, one of the disciples speaks up. The question does not arise in a classroom or synagogue, but in the aftermath of watching Jesus pray. The disciples do not respond to a sermon, but to a lived reality. Something about Jesus' prayer life exposed the gap between prayer as they practiced it and prayer as Jesus embodied it. What arrested them was the quality of Jesus' prayer, its intimacy, authority, and coherence with his life. Jesus prayed as someone who knew God, not merely someone who spoke about God. His prayer was not anxious or manipulative. It did not feel transactional, as though words were being offered to secure outcomes. It felt relational, grounded, truthful. In Jesus, prayer was not a religious act separated from life. It was the wellspring from which his life flowed. Jesus responds,
"Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name."
The very first petition in the prayer is about God's name. Before asking for bread, before asking for forgiveness, before asking for protection, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." To hallow something is to make it holy, to treat it as sacred. But Jesus is not asking God to make his name holy. The Father's name is already holy. Jesus is asking his disciples to make God's name holy through their lives. He is asking us to live in a way that honors the name of the one to whom we pray. He is asking us to direct our lives toward the goal of making God's character visible in the world. "Hallowed be your name" means, "Let your name be honored. Let people see your character in how I live. Let my life make your name sacred in the world. Let my choices reflect your values. Let my words reveal your truth. Let my relationships demonstrate your love." We learn something profound about prayer in Jesus' teaching. Prayer is not primarily about asking for things. It is about formation, about shaping who you are becoming. When you pray, "Hallowed be your name," you are not just making a request. You are directing your life toward a goal. You are committing yourself to living in a way that honors God's name. You are aligning yourself with God's values. The prayer continues,
"Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
When you pray this, you are not just asking God to act. You are committing to being an agent through which God's kingdom comes. You are saying, "I want to live in a way that advances your kingdom. I want your will to be done through me. I want your purposes to be accomplished in and through my life." And then,
"Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Only after establishing the foundation, God's holiness, God's kingdom, God's will, does Jesus teach us to pray about our needs. And even then, the prayers are about dependence and forgiveness, not entitlement. We ask God to meet our basic needs. We ask him to forgive us as we forgive others. We ask him to protect us from temptation and evil. That kind of protection is for the purpose of helping us to live in accordance with the Father's will. Prayer, in Jesus' teaching, is about reordering our lives around God's name. It is about becoming someone whose life hallows God's name. It is about allowing the words we pray to shape the people we are becoming. This connects to the third commandment in a powerful way. The commandment says, "Do not misuse God's name." Jesus goes deeper and says, "Actively hallow God's name. Make your life a witness to God's holiness." How do we do this? Through worship. Not just in formal settings, but in the way we order our daily lives around God's character. When you set aside time to pray, not to ask for things, but to align yourself with God's purposes, you are hallowing God's name. When you make decisions based on God's values rather than your own desires, When you choose honesty over advantage, mercy over judgment, justice over convenience, you are hallowing God's name. When you treat others with the dignity and respect that reflects God's image, you are hallowing his name. Your worship shapes your witness. The time you spend with God determines how you live in the world. And how you live in the world determines whether people see God as holy or as a convenience. Your prayer life is not separate from your public life. Your worship is not disconnected from your witness. They flow into each other. Your private devotion becomes your public action. And if you want to live life more abundantly, here's the insight. A life ordered toward God's holiness becomes a life of clarity. Praying, "Hallowed be your name," is asking God to help you live in a way that reflects his character. This requires clarity about what that character is. It requires you to know God, requires you to understand what God values, requires you to distinguish between what is God's will and what is merely your own desire. And in developing that clarity, something shifts in your own life. You know what matters. You know what to say yes to and what to say no to. Know when to speak and when to stay silent. Know how to act with integrity. Know what you are willing to sacrifice and what you must surrender. This is very different from a life of confusion and contradiction. When you are constantly trying to figure out what you believe or how you should act, you are fragmented. You are tossed about by circumstances and opinions. You are unclear about your direction. But when you have a clear center, when you have ordered your life around hallowing God's name, you experience peace. You know who you are, know what you stand for, know what matters. And that clarity produces flourishing, not because you are perfect or have everything figured out, but because you have direction. You have purpose. You have a North Star that guides you. Ask yourself, do my prayers form my life or only express my needs? Many of us use prayer primarily as a way to ask God for things. We pray when we are in crisis. We pray when we need something. There is nothing wrong with that. Jesus encourages us to ask. But if prayer only becomes a place where we make requests, we miss something essential. Prayer should be forming you. It should be shaping who you are becoming. It should be aligning you with God's character so your life hallows God's name. So, take a moment to reflect. Are your prayers transforming you? Are they changing how you live? Or do you pray and then live the same way you always have? This week, we want to invite you to pray Jesus' prayer, not just as words, but as a commitment. When you pray, "Hallowed be your name," ask yourself, what would it look like for me to hallow your name today? How could my choices make your character visible? What would I need to change in how I speak, how I treat others, how I make decisions? Then live into that prayer. Let it shape your day. Let it guide your decisions. Let the words you pray become the commitments you live out. This is how prayer becomes formation. This is how you become someone who hallows God's name. In asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, the disciples are really asking to be remade from the inside out. They are acknowledging that prayer, as they have known it, has reached its limits, and that in Jesus, they have glimpsed a way of praying that leads not to religious performance, but to communion, integrity, and life. Jesus teaches his disciples to begin prayer with God's name, not with their needs, not with their desires, but with a commitment to honor God's holiness. This is the third commandment, transformed into invitation. Not, "Don't misuse God's name," but, "Hallowed be your name." Not a restriction, but a direction. Not a prohibition, but a prayer that shapes your entire life. When your worship, your prayer, your meditation, your daily choices, is ordered toward hallowing God's name, you become someone through whom people can see God. Your life becomes a prayer. Your actions become a witness. Your character becomes a revelation of God's character. This is flourishing, a life so ordered around God's holiness that both you and those around you experience clarity about who God is and what God values. Father, help our prayers shape our lives. Help us order our days around your name. Help us live in a way that makes your character visible and your holiness honored. Help us become a people whose prayers and whose lives tell the world what you are truly like. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.